Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome back to the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast, the podcast formerly known as the Ditka Sausage Fantasy Sports Podcast. Yeah, there's like four listeners out there that remember that. B-Don, what's happening, man?
Hey, I got the shirt on right now. I mean, I've worn it to the point where like Ditka's not even, he's not even around anymore, really. He's starting to fade. So, yeah, it's been a while, but we haven't been that show in like 2 years, 3 years.
At least that, and that was the best part of the show was the T-shirt that Kenny from RotoWear. We convinced him to make them.
Oh yeah,
we sold like 10 of them.
Oh yeah, we absolutely. I think they're still there because he has some just sitting around. He's like, somebody's got to like this. You know, it doesn't actually say our podcast. Like, it doesn't say podcast. It just says like the three things. So I figured it would sell just to Bears fans randomly.
Right. I mean, we should definitely buy out the supply.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm just going to buy them and give them to everybody I meet randomly and just hope they wear them.
He might not have them. He may print them individually one at a time.
I don't know how he does it back, like now that it's more like limited now, like what he can run. But I think back in the day, he had to run like a certain amount. So I think there's still some hanging around. If you order like one of the random shirts, it might be one of the random shirts that you get. Because there's always like I think it's like $5 less for like a random whatever's laying around in your size shirt.
Yeah, well, it's a brilliant shirt. Nobody knows what the heck we're talking about, but you know, it's a picture of Ditka and he's got a sausage as a mustache.
I just can't do the random shirt because I'll inevitably get like a Cardinals like piece of gear that I'm just gonna have to like light on fire. So
that's risky business. Yeah,
it is. How about we talk some football though? Huh?
Yeah, let's talk some football. So B-Don, I had sometimes we talk golf because you and I are both golfers. I had my yearly Ryder Cup event, 3-day event, played 54 holes and I just got back. So it's like when this event happens, I catch the primetime games, but I catch so little football on Sunday. And then it's incredible. Like early in the season, when you miss a week, it's different than later in the season. Like so many things are still happening. Like everyone's feeling things out. So like, I feel like I'm just totally out of the loop right now. So I'm looking forward to talking with you and going over some of the big news this week.
I mean, there's some of it early in the season where we still don't know because you'll look at points against, or you'll look at just the numbers. But if you don't look at who they've played, then it's kind of pointless. Like if they haven't get up points to tight ends, but they haven't played any tight ends, that's different than a team that's faced, you know, Kelsey, Waller, and, you know, random fill in the blank third tight end. But, yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of moving pieces. We still don't know exactly where timeshares are landing. There's a bunch of injuries. I mean, I guess that's pretty common throughout the season, though.
Yeah, well, I think a big part of the early season stuff, too, is, like, we don't quite have a solid grasp on – where defenses stand and who you start to get a feel early, but you don't have that huge sample. And by mid season, you know, oh, this is the defense you want to avoid with your, you know, questionable running backs. And, you know, this offensive line is brutal right now, all that kind of stuff. Once you get the larger sample, but yeah, you mentioned the injury news, the big one for this week. And this one hurt me because I was huge on Javonte Williams. He's done for the year. He really wrecked his knee, didn't he?
Yeah, it's ACL, LCL, PCL. I mean, that's pretty much the entire knee. I don't think he officially tore the LCL and PCL, or at least that I think that's at least initial reports, but there is significant damage, I think was the term used. So not exactly what you want to hear about your stud running back. I had some shares as well. I mean, I didn't, you know, reach for him if he, because he went pretty early considering there was a, I always thought there'd be some kind of timeshare there. But I still own a couple of shares because I do like the talent. Obviously, he's an amazing guy. They have, you know, they added Russ. So I thought that the offense was off and going. But I mean, now that it's happened, now that we know what's going on, what are you doing with that information here for Dynasty? I mean, we can talk about it kind of big picture first.
Well, like we always say in Dynasty, if you're rebuilding, I think he is a good target to acquire if you're out of it this season and have some older guys that maybe the Javonte Williams owner was going for it this year and feeling good and now has got a big hole. Maybe you can take advantage of that and get Javonte at that injury discount, because I still do like him long term. What about you?
I mean, when you tear the knee that badly, it's really hard for me to then invest a whole lot into a guy. I mean, if you can get him at what discount are we thinking in regards to what you're willing to accept in a trade, or like offer up in a trade even? Because again, they have the knee, it takes a full year to recover. And then probably another season to really get comfortable on it. And with running backs, they really only have like a 5-year lifespan anyways. So it becomes like if I'm in a rebuild phase and I just need to like take shots wherever I can, I think the injury guys are always as good a bet as any. But as far as like where I'd rank him or what I'm willing to give up, I don't think it's that much.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some risk, you're right, but there's also guys like Nick Chubb. I mean, he tore both of his knees up, and he looks as good as anybody running the ball. We saw Adrian Peterson recover like a machine that he is. So it depends on the player, right? And there's some risk that he doesn't respond like those guys, but his upside, he's still so young. The upside is still huge, and he was one of those guys. I think he came into the NFL at age 21. I think he was young when he came in.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so like if you get James Conner or Leonard Fournette or something like that, one of those aging running backs that probably doesn't have a whole lot of value left long term, if you can flip one of those guys for Javonte and maybe throw in another veteran piece that's not doing you a whole lot of good, I'd be down to do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think if you can do it with a veteran running back that's, you know, just has value because there's somebody who needs a starting running back, absolutely, you do that. But I'm just talking like, I'm not giving up high end pieces. I'm not giving up first round picks in the next two drafts for Javonte, I don't think. So are you giving up even like a back end first rounder in 23 or 24 for Javonte?
Probably not, because I mean, those have the long term value, and you get to pick your own adventure with those, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'd give up a first. I'd give up a second pretty easily, I think. I think a mid, even an early second would be worth it. Maybe not in Superflex, because next year's draft is going to be fairly heavy, especially in Superflex. In a standard Dynasty League, one quarterback, I think I'm okay with an early second, though, still.
Right. So I guess the next question here is, how are we valuing the other pieces that are now left in that backfield? So Bobby, he's putting out the rest of season rankings, flex rankings, and those went up today at Razzball. And it's sortable. It's really nice. I don't know if you looked at them yet, B-Don, but it's top 150, and you can sort by position. So I just pulled them up and sorted by running back just to see what he thought of Melvin. And like, I thought I was going to be low on Melvin, and I don't know if this is an oversight. I'm going to message him after and see if maybe he didn't adjust Melvin up after the injury, but he's got him down at number 47, which just seems hard to believe that, like, I don't love Melvin. I don't think he's going to be an RB1. I was thinking this would be like a good sell high situation for him if somebody thinks that he's just going to come in and be like a back end RB1. I think he's going to be a back end RB2. I probably would have had him ranked somewhere in the 20 to 25 range here. I think it'll be a split backfield personally, but 47 seems outrageously low.
Yeah, that seems a little aggressive, and especially considering, you know, he was dealing with a little bit of a neck thing. So, like, you can, I guess I understand it based on the fact that he got very limited snaps. You know, even in this game, Mike Boone got more snaps, so that's why people were going after Mike Boone. But I still feel like it's Melvin Gordon. I mean, when he's been in this year, he still looks pretty much like he looked last year, which isn't vintage Melvin Gordon, but it's still a very quality running back that I really don't see Mike Boone pressing him for time. They signed Latavius Murray. That may be some kind of time split between him, MG3, and Mike Boone. But I think if people are evaluating Gordon that low, I'm willing to go ahead and put out some feelers and see if I can't trade him for, you know, a flyer wide receiver that I can then go replace on the waiver wire, or, you know, maybe somebody's handcuff after they've watched their running backs tumble. Like, if you can get a Melvin Gordon for a handcuff running back that's not your handcuff, I think that's pretty solid. Unless it's one of the ones that has standalone value.
Yeah, I'm thinking that this is a mistake. I just texted Bobby here while you were talking just to see. I don't want to throw him under the bus on the show. I think that I did these rankings last year, and it really is tough week to week to catch all of the guys that you need to adjust. There's just a lot there and a lot of moving parts. So, yeah, I think you and I are probably on the same page. I don't think Melvin's going to come in and just be a bell cow at this stage in his career. So, Mike Boone is an interesting pickup. I just picked up Latavius in one league that's pretty competitive and deep, but I really have low expectations for him personally.
Yeah, I would expect if any of these three are going to be productive, I think it's Melvin Gordon. I don't like if it becomes Latavius Murray and Mike Boone, I really don't want to be starting either. I think Mike Boone's probably the receiving back in that scenario, so maybe I want him in PPR and Latavius in standard if Gordon's not available, but that's pretty much it. I mean, I understand it. I understand why people spent money. There really haven't been huge pickups outside of like week one, week two. If some of the week one guys got left out there, it really hasn't been a year where when a guy goes down, those guys have been owned for the most part. So I understand why people spent on Mike Boone and are picking up Latavius Murray. I think it's MG3 or kind of bust for the Denver running backs. I think if they all go down, it just becomes a lot of passing.
Yeah, speaking of a guy going down and their backup being owned, Tyler Allgeier, I went to place a bid in a relatively shallow league, and he got picked up last week. And, of course, this is the Cordarrelle Patterson show. talk about him. How much time have we spent talking about in the past 3 weeks?
We have spent I'm not even going to try and say it now. It's a lot. We've spent a lot of time
talking
about Cordarrelle Patterson. Now he's on the IR. So I'm glad we spent all that time discussing all of that. But hopefully people picked up Allgeier because we did mention him several times in those discussions and say that he's probably a useful chip for later in the season. I think later would be now, though.
Right. Yeah. It is later. Yes. Now Cordarrelle's out. He may be back. Right. I don't think it was a season ender. Right.
No. He has to sit for four games, so he could still come back. It sounds like they're expecting him to come back. So it's not necessarily a situation where I'm outright cutting him. If you have an IR spot, I think he's probably a worthwhile candidate for it. But if you have to let him go, Tyler Allgeier is going to get some runway here to show if he has it.
Where you think he's going to be an RB2 flex play?
I'd say a low end RB2 just because it seems like when it's Allgeier or when it's Cordarrelle, they may do a few different things with Cordarrelle, but they kind of use both of them in a similar manner where they're just used all over the field in different manners. They're going to get the ball a lot. So whether they're up or down, I think, you know, they're going to get touches, and there's not a whole lot of competition in Atlanta for the running back position. So like I said, I think they're going to take a look at Algier and see if he's the guy. Caleb Huntley, Avery Williams, who are not really threatening anything at all. So, I mean, I think Algier's going to be looking at a heavy workload.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit lower on you, on Algier than you. I'm thinking low-end flex, like matchup-based. I'm probably not a guy that I'm going to be excited to start, most likely. But who knows? He could blow up.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like there's so many time splits out there, and you know, it's just part of what football is now. Like, I don't know who he's really going to split with. So I feel like just by default, by the amount of touches that he should see in a week, like he should fall into back end RB2 territory just by catching like 5 dump offs a game or getting, you know, 15 carries a game. Like, I feel like he's just going to have enough volume that with as much turnover as there is at running back, I'm certainly not saying he's injury proof by any means, but with turnover, with splits and committees and how it falls out, like where one end of the committee will do well and the other end doesn't get in the end zone. So they're, you know, the fantasy points don't look as nice. Like, I just feel like he still falls into that RB2 territory. And there haven't been a complete zero on offense. I mean, they've been better than I expected, at least.
What's his Damian Williams is on the IR. I was thinking, is Damian Williams going to be back soon? You're our insider down there in Atlanta.
No, I don't think. I think he's done. Like, I think he's done. Done.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's makes him a little more.
I'm pretty sure he's like retired.
Interesting. Veteran who's in his ninth season. It says Damian Williams is eligible to return week 6. I guess that doesn't mean he's not going to retire. But yeah, he had a rib injury.
I just assumed he was done. But we'll see where. I mean, I'm not really like, how many times have we heard, oh, Damian Williams is going to be a factor? Like, has Damian Williams ever been a factor?
He's had his moments, you know. No,
he's had games, but like, he's never been a reason to ignore like somebody with potential.
Yeah, there's the unknown potential with Algier. I'll give you that. They were raving about Damian Williams preseason, whatever that's worth. I know you don't buy into that kind of hype all that much. But let's move on to another huge injury, because we went out of order here, just segued smoothly into our Cordarrelle Patterson show. Jonathan Taylor, though, he's dealing with an ankle injury, and he missed practice Monday and Tuesday, and they just ruled him out here on Wednesday. So because it's a Thursday game. I don't know. I hope he doesn't miss more time than that. Definitely depending on him on my two highest stakes leagues. I ended up drafting Jonathan Taylor. I lucked out with early picks. So this is not good. Not good news, B-Don.
No, it's not. I took him 1 overall in the Scott Fishbowl live draft over all the quarterbacks that I could have taken in a super flex league. And that is looking like a terrible decision. Yeah. I didn't even have him 1 overall at the end of season, but the, you know, Scott Fishbowl draft is like the first draft of the season. It seemed like the obvious choice at the time.
I took Josh Allen. I had the number 1 pick in
my. Yeah, I should have. I should have taken Lamar Jackson, but hey, that's neither here nor there. But yes, I hope it's just this week. It's a short week. I kind of expect him to miss this week regardless.
Yeah, we're just hoping it's not longer, which there's no guarantee.
I mean, they're saying it's no big deal. He's saying it's no big deal. But he's also in a soft cast and not practicing. So just TBD, ankles are weird. They don't really recover. It's just kind of dealing with it eventually. And it kind of sets around everything. So we'll see.
Now, where are we thinking Nyheim Hines this week?
I mean, I feel like he's still very format dependent, whether we're talking PPR or not. Yeah. I think in PPR, we're probably looking at top 20, 25, maybe. I'd say 25. Top 25 probably feels right.
Yeah, the problem is they're playing Thursday, and we know how those Thursday games go, right? And the Broncos defenses look good, too. So,
yeah, I mean, I know we've talked about Thursday games before, but it's been such a weird batch of Thursday games. Like the last, even the last, like last year was weird. This year has been weird. Like I'm not really worried about the Thursday aspect so much of it, because it's not like he's a backup running back that's not used in the offense. Like they're all familiar with Naheem Hines, everybody in the offense in Indy. So if anything, I feel like he might get used more because Matt Ryan needs to just get the ball out and stop getting hit. Like, it's been awful.
Could be true. They're just sloppy games that tend to be defensive battles just because of the lack of preparation time on offense. But
yeah, would you take, I mean, assuming JT's not playing this week, would you take him or like Connor against Philly's defense, who's looked good?
I'd go Connor.
See, I think I'd go Hines there, because I just, Connor hasn't looked good, and I kind of expected that, but I didn't expect him to look this bad either. So I think I'm going to go with Hines, especially in PPR. In standard, I'll go Connor.
Yeah, it's close in PPR just because Hines can catch 10 passes, you know?
Yeah. Would you take either of the Jets running backs over him?
I think that's the right area. I really don't want any part of starting Michael Carter. So Breece Hall, I think I'll lean Breece Hall, but it's coin flip territory for me.
Yeah, I think I'll go Hines just because I don't know weekly who's going to score the touchdown for the Jets, and it's been really frustrating chasing that as somebody who owns the Jets running backs in a couple of leagues. So I think I'm just going to go with Hines if I have that decision, just to avoid that headache.
Yeah, fair. So Tua, turns out Tua did have a concussion beat on. I think we talked about this on last week's show. Yeah, that was scary on Thursday.
Yeah, it was. I was so shocked that he was out there playing. He looked kind of shaky to start the game even, but Tua kind of does that. He does kind of start just regular games a little shaky. So I was like, okay, we'll see how it's going. And then he got hit on a fairly benign play and got there. They finally admitted, and he now has a concussion. So I guess the question really, are you starting? Like, we're still starting Waddle and Hill, at least I am. I think, you know, Gesicki's still going to be a matchup-based play for me. I really like him, but with those weapons, he has become completely matchup-based. And it just depends. Let me see who they're playing this week. Sorry. Where are you at on this situation, though, while I look that up?
Well, I kind of thought, because you put these notes together and you said, are we still starting their weapons? And I really thought the question was Waddle and Tyreek, which, obviously my answer was going to be the same thing you said. There must start still with Teddy at quarterback. I wasn't really excited to start anybody else anyway with Tua. So, Gesicki, yeah, if you're desperate and he gets a good matchup, maybe you start him. But the running backs, wasn't excited to start them, at least while both of them are healthy. If one of Mostert or Edmonds goes down, then I'd start to consider it. And bye weeks haven't hit yet. Are there bye weeks in week 5 now? No.
No, I don't believe so.
6, I think next week they start, right?
Yes, next week is our first one.
Yeah, so generally, yeah, of course, it depends on your other options, but I'm probably not starting anybody other than those two receivers right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing the Jets. It's not a bad matchup for Gesicki. I just don't – I think you probably have other options. But if not, I really don't mind playing him. I think he's going to be fine.
You love Gesicki.
I do absolutely love Mike Gesicki. I think – and, I'm pulling up the snaps to verify. I do feel like it started the 10 towards Mostert last week. And – yes, so it was 72% snaps to 28% snaps, Mostert to Edmonds. So I'm feeling a little bit better about starting Mostert, but I still feel like this is a gross situation that I want to avoid. So for the most part, I'm with you, but if we have to start one, I'm going Mostert.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I can buy that. So then Treylon Burks is another, I was pretty high on Treylon Burks this year, and he was hurt in the preseason, came on strong at the end of the preseason, a little bit of a slow start to the year. Now he looked good. Just didn't really go off. Now he's got turf toe. And I think that I'm pretty concerned the rest of the season, just thinking back to like the last wide receiver turf toe that is really in my mind was Davante Adams. And that really destroyed the second half of his season when he had it, right?
It did, and it's a really – so turf toes, from my understanding, is a really weird one because it could be really bad or it could be bad or it could be, like, absolutely nothing. It sounds like it's somewhere between bad and really bad with Treylon Burks. So I am very concerned for this year. I think in redraft – honestly, I think you can probably drop him in everything but the deepest formats. Or if you have an IR, obviously, you can throw him there. But like I'm not counting on him producing much. It's a low passing offense to begin with. And then we're also talking about a guy that'll be working back from injury that the Titans already weren't handing him like a full load of snaps to begin with.
Yeah, I agree. In Dynasty, maybe we end up getting a buying opportunity. I think it's too early to say because he's not even ruled out yet for this week. He's not going to play, but his owner may be optimistic. I think that's a kind of a common theme with fantasy football owners is that they get a little bit overly optimistic on their players. And so it'll take probably a little bit of time for them to realize a couple weeks without him, maybe I need to sell if I'm really going for it this year, right?
Yeah, this is really why I have, whatever number of leagues I have. It's just so, I'm not biased because I own people because now I own everybody. So now I can't have biases other than the people I absolutely refuse to own.
It's true. That is something that does happen when you play way too many leagues.
And there are definitely people I refuse to own. Sometimes that hurts. Sometimes I feel really good about that.
Right. I mean, you should make it a personal rule that you play in enough leagues that you own every player in one league.
Everybody in the top like 100, 120, something like that. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. I mean, I guess should we go through some dynasty like options of would you rather for Burks?
Sure.
How about Christian Kirk, who's looked good as a in his time so far?
Yeah, this season, like obviously Kirk, like if you need a receiver this year and you're contending, it's no brainer. Long term, I think it is Treylon Burks for me, but Kirk's still young and it seems like Lawrence and him have good rapport. He just signed a relatively long term contract. I mean, he got a lot of money from the Jaguars, so I think it's close long term, but maybe slight edge to Treylon.
Yeah, I think I'm with you because it's turf toe. It's not something that's going to or that should linger season to season. So assuming that I'm not going for it this year, I'm going to go ahead and make that trade. What about Michael Thomas or Keenan Allen, some of the older guys, if you're going for it and then you're rebuilding, vice versa?
I would try to get more than Michael Thomas for Treylon Burks, even if I'm not calling for this year. Keenan Allen, I think that's about right. I think that's a fair one. And if I'm all in for this year, or maybe not even all in. If I feel like I've got a contender, Keenan Allen's still got some meat left on the bone. It's not like this is his last year of usefulness either, even though he's probably going to be on the down slope here in the next year or two. But yeah, I think that that's fair, and I would go with Keenan Allen. Prefer Treylon Burks long term again if I'm rebuilding.
Okay. One more, Terry McLaurin, who is 27. I didn't realize he
came in
27,
old.
But yeah. He was like 20. He was into his 22 when he came in.
Maybe even 23.
Yeah, he might have been 23.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, well, we're going to hit on this, so we can just kind of transition into it, because Jahan Dotson has the hamstring injury. He's going to miss a couple of weeks. I do think that boosts Terry up. Yeah, like, he doesn't seem like he's quite hit his stride yet with Carson Wentz. So this may be kind of a catalyst for that. Wentz seemed to have a connection with Dotson early. So yeah, I think that I'd take Terry. I would take Terry if I was competing this year. Looking long-term, again, slight preference to Treylon Burks. I really do like Treylon Burks long-term. I think that he develops into a superstar.
Yeah, I do as well. I do like Treylon Burks quite a bit. I think, again, if you're going for it, I have no problem making that deal, taking Terry for Treylon Burks. And then, you know, I think it's a trade that works out for both parties involved, though. I think Terry's going to be better the rest of the season. I do think this opens up a little opportunity for him to build that rapport with Wentz and kind of let Wentz just realize he's the best receiver out there and he should be just fed the ball consistently. So I think this helps, and I think that would be a fair trade for both.
Yeah, and so you think this helps Curtis Samuel as well?
I do. I think that it just takes another target out. One of them gets to run some of those deep routes that the Dotson's been running on occasion.
So Terry, I think Terry high end wide receiver two or low end wide receiver. He's got to be in the wide receiver two range, right?
Yeah, I feel like he's got to be a wide receiver two. I mean, I keep starting him. I keep saying he's a must start. So I feel like he has to be somewhere in that wide receiver two area. Yeah, I'd say somewhere around 20.
Yeah, for me. I think, yeah, maybe a couple spots higher, but yeah, right around that area, I'm with you. And then Curtis Samuel is probably a wide receiver three, low-end wide receiver three, solid wide receiver three, that kind of range for me.
I'd say he's probably like wide receiver 30 for me, maybe even a little bit higher. He might like be like 28. Just because Curtis Samuel's been good too, so maybe they work in some more gadget plays for both of them, and maybe they both could take some more of those deep shots. I just feel like it's going to work out for both of them without Dotson around to take some of those touchdowns away. He's been a little bit of a touchdown vulture here to begin the season. So I would like to see those go to Terry and Curtis Samuel, who I have all over the place. And I assume it's going to be De'Ami Brown and like Cam Sims for the most part coming in to replace him as the third receiver. But I'm not necessarily looking to pick either of those up or worried about them taking a lot of work away.
Yeah, fair. I'm a little bit lower on Samuel, but not much. I mean, splitting hairs here. The other guy that we're going to talk about that's injured, Daniel Jones, he's got an ankle injury. He left. He came back in when Tyrod got the concussion. Sounds like they're optimistic. I Googled Daniel Jones news, and the first thing is Giants are optimistic that he can play on Sunday. So there you have it. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't really looking to start any Giants other than Saquon anyway, right?
No, I don't. I kind of feel like this is a near zero, because they're going to run the ball a lot regardless of who's at quarterback. So I really don't think it's going to be an issue. And Tyrod got a concussion because Daniel Jones has come out. It looked like he was done for the day. And then Tyrod got a concussion. And they really didn't have Daniel Jones doing a whole lot like when he came back in. So I just feel like he's going to turn around and hand off to Saquon a lot, maybe throw some quick screens outside and the slants. But they're not going to let him get hit, really. I don't think he's healthy. I think he's he's going to manage it through this game because they have nobody else.
Yeah, so Saquon ends up getting a heavy, heavy dose.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I think Rudy might actually have Saquon a little bit lower this week because of kind of the up in the air situation at quarterback, whether Jones plays, and then even if he does play, what it ultimately looks like. But I do feel like, regardless of who's at quarterback, Saquon's going to benefit, kind of.
Yeah. So this was one thing that I missed in my golf madness. Kenny Pickett is taking over in Pittsburgh. So Mitch did Mitch get benched out of the half? Was that start the second half?
So I don't think it was actually out of the second half. I don't want to say it wasn't because somebody will tell me it was. But basically it was just that they just made the decision and Mitch got benched. Kenny came in. So it seems like it's Kenny Pickett's job from here on out.
How do you look? I mean, I see that he had 3 interceptions and 2 rushing touchdowns, which
yeah. The interceptions weren't all his fault. They were, you know, he was asked to kind of bring them from behind, but at the same time, they didn't really open up the playbook. I don't know. I don't really want to say anything too bad one way or the other against him. It was his first week. He jumped in the middle of the game. It did. I will say, for whatever it's worth, it definitely gave a jolt to the team. Like, the Steelers look better.
He's got a ton of weapons. He definitely becomes an interesting option with all his weapons, but they still got a garbage offensive line. So it's a tough situation for a rookie quarterback to come into.
Yeah, the offensive line is not great, but so many weapons. Hopefully he can just stay up on his feet and get the ball out quick. It can't be any worse than Mitch. That's pretty much the decision I think they came to, and that, for fantasy purposes, I think we, or at least I've come to, is it can't be any worse. So I'm okay going ahead forward with your Steelers if you've been starting them and just kind of seeing what happens. I'm also okay sitting them down on the bench if you have equivalent options and seeing what shakes out. If Kenny has favorites, if they run a specific type of offense when they have a full week to prepare, knowing he's going to be the starter.
Yeah, I think Deontay Johnson's a really tough guy to bench, unless you're just totally loaded at wide receiver. But outside of that, I don't disagree.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I could see that. I feel like there's a chance that you have equivalent options if you hit some wide receivers later in your draft. So again, if you want to wait and see, I don't think I would have any of the Steelers ranked as must play wide receivers this week.
I love seeing that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I love seeing the George Pickens usage.
Yes, that was nice. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, the rookies coming in together, there's something about that. They've been dealing with all the rookie stuff together. They've probably been working off the side, hopefully. So maybe there's something there. I mean, I feel like Deontay's probably, a wide receiver 3 flex play, and probably Pickens is right there with him.
See where I've got Deontay ranked. Who did they have this week again?
They have Buffalo.
Buffalo.
So not a great matchup to be jumping in. And actually, like, this is such a bad stretch for Kenny Pickett to start his NFL career in. It's just getting fed to the wolves, like, right off the bat. Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Miami, Philadelphia, bye week, New Orleans. Like, that's just a terrible 5-game stretch to start your career. Get Cincinnati, whose defense hasn't looked amazing. Indianapolis, whose defense does not look like last year. Falcons, it gets easier, but like, these first 5 games are going to be a tough challenge for Mr. Pickett.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm moving Deontay down. I had him as a low-end wide receiver too this week. I'm going to move him down a couple spots. You're selling me. A lot of uncertainty there. We wanted to talk about a couple more quick topics here, Pete, on Kyle Pitts. What do we do with Kyle Pitts now? It's rough. And actually, while we're on the tight end subject, I think Freiermuth is still probably a must start. And you got a rookie quarterback that will probably lean on those short passes. So there's not a ton of – if you own Freiermuth, you probably don't have one of the top guys. I think I would start him. I'm curious your thoughts on that. And then Kyle Pitts, what do you – I mean, he's been brutal. Not what we expected.
No, it's not. I had Kyle Pitts as my number one tight end, and that was a poor call on my part.
Well, I liked Trubisky a little bit, so you know.
I don't know how you, as a Bears fan, could like Trubisky at all.
The thesis was more like it was the Bears, and you get him in with some competent coaching. And some good weapons, and maybe we see a different Mitch kind of idea. But the problem is he didn't have the offensive line. Like, I think if you give him the time, he could be a serviceable NFL quarterback with good weapons. But yeah, it's tough with that shitty O-line. But tangent there.
That is literally every single quarterback on an NFL roster. Like, if you give them elite weapons and a lot of time,
yeah,
they're gonna be good. That's everybody, every quarterback on an NFL roster, starter or not. That's not how it happens in the NFL, though, for multiple teams. And usually the teams that are good have a good quarterback, and part of the reason that they, you know, are that way is because the quarterback doesn't take those hits and reads the defenses correctly. I'm with you. I'm still thinking Freiermuth is a starting tight end for most teams. He's number, you know, 7 through 10, depending on your scoring.
Are you buying Pitts?
Yes. I'm still buying Pitts. I'm still buying talent. I just feel like he's too good to just give up on. I actually just made a trade in a dynasty league for Pitts. So I am fully going to buy in, and if he flops like Evan Ingram, I will be with everybody in the disappointment.
Yeah, I'm buying him in Dynasty and Redraft. I think you are too, right?
Yes, absolutely. Especially if, I know if you have Pitts, tendency is probably maybe you have a losing record because you've been getting a goose egg from your tight end or near goose egg most weeks. But I feel like he is the piece that can kind of turn things around. So if you're sitting in low record, I feel like Kyle Pitts is still a piece that can help you. But if you can trade him and get somebody that's already performing, that's also not a terrible move to just kind of shake it up and see if you can get some things done. You can almost always find a streaming tight end week to week to throw out there in most leagues, I think. My dynasty league trade, and I saw some ridiculous trades posted by our buddy Ryan McMahon there, the other Ryan. But I traded Malik Willis and a first rounder in the next two drafts for Marquise Brown and Kyle Pitts.
You got Pitts and Marquise Brown for Malik Willis and who? A pick?
Two first rounds. Next two first rounds. So 2023 and 2024.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, I like buying Marquise Brown too. I think that some people may be thinking it's time to sell high, which I could see selling high too with Hopkins coming back. But yeah. I think that his role is going to be pretty solidified and he's still young. So I like that trade, Bita. Nice work. Last topic here for us before we wrap it up, though. My man, Geno Smith, I actually like both of these quarterbacks coming into the year. So it kind of makes up for my terrible Mitch Trubisky take a little bit. I like Geno and I like Jared Goff. Goff was the coaches in the in Hard Knocks, they really were raving about Goff, and Amon-Ra looked good. The vibes coming out of Detroit were nice. He had a little bit of a slow start in week one, but you know, I like to buy into the hype. And the last time that somebody really got hyped out of Hard Knocks was Darren Waller, and that worked out pretty well. So I was in on both these guys. I don't think that like they're like locked in quarter QB1s or anything like that. If we're getting into that conversation, Goff, I mean, a few more weeks with a healthy Amon-Ra St. Brown, he really could. I'd be surprised if Geno ever got into that territory, but it's streaming options right now. You agree?
That's funny that you say that. I actually feel like Geno's the one that I can get behind being potentially a guy that moves up into like a low end QB1 territory versus Goff.
He's got great weapons.
He does. He has great weapons. He still has the running part of his game. Not quite like he used to when he was younger, but still has it. Still has the ability to get out and get you some rushing yards. So I feel like he just has like the consistency week to week, kind of like what I was saying who were we talking about earlier?
Pickett?
No, maybe like Melvin Gordon. Maybe that's who we were talking about. I don't remember. It was a running back. Talgeir. Algier. Kind of like Algier, where like I don't expect him to necessarily have massive weeks consistently, or like, but I just feel like he's going to consistent, like week to week, he's going to put up enough points where at the end of the season, we're going to look up and they're going to be in that area. You know, our low end RB2 for Algier. And I think for Geno at the end of the season, if he's like the 12th quarterback or the 10th quarterback, I won't be that surprising.
Yeah, I won't be that surprised either. The thing is, guys can land in that area and you still like weren't excited to start them every week.
Yeah.
So
because it's that really just means they probably started every game. They weren't winning and from enough that they're having to keep throwing and competing through the games. It's partially the team build and what having those type of quarterbacks mean for the team.
Yeah, agreed. Well, let's wrap it up there, B-Don. Good stuff. Good luck to everybody out there in week 5. Hopefully you're not 0-4. If you are, go get that first win. Follow B-Don out on Twitter at RazBDon. I'm at DonkeyTeeth87. Subscribe to our YouTube show here. If you're listening to this on the podcast feed, check out all the stuff over on YouTube. We got some good video content. I don't know if you saw B-Don, but the anime Donkey put out a video this week. He's running for office, so that's out there on YouTube. A lot of good stuff, right?
Absolutely. I did see the anime Donkey videos. Of course I watch those. That's must watch viewing. Definitely go put some Kyle Pitts in, Pitts offers in your dynasty leagues. And I saw some ridiculous stuff. I saw ETN here. I got some real quick before we go. I saw ETN go for him. Brady Hawkinson in a first rounder got it done. Damian Pierce and Darren Waller for Melvin Gordon and Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts and Andy Dalton for Jimmy Garoppolo, Jamal Williams, Cole Beasley in a second rounder. Like, guys, if these trades are getting done, go put it in offers. This is ridiculous.
I mean, okay. I didn't think they were all like ridiculous, but that let's talk about it on next week's show. Let's put some Kyle Pitts trade talks.
Yeah, all right, okay. That's fine. That's fine.
Take it easy, man.
All right, that's it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.